Hey, greetings, friends. My name's Andy Steele Smith. This week, I want to share a brief message entitled Serving the King. When someone is clearly involved in ministry or missional activities, it's pretty easy to see the correlation between what one does and God's calling on their lives. In my case, where I have a calling on both ministry and the marketplace, it's easier to lose sight of the direct relationship between God's calling on my life and the marketplace than perhaps it is in my ministry calling. But I want to encourage you, friends, today in your own situations that you're calling, whether it be in the marketplace, in the mission field, or just, and I use that word just very much in inverted commas, in the home and family, is vital to God's work. And it's an opportunity to serve the King. And therefore, it's something not to be taken lightly. Paul speaks clearly about this in his letter to the church in Colossae. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving." By way of context, Colossians 1 describes Christ as being supreme, as being the ultimate authority, whilst chapter 2 shows the superiority of salvation through Jesus to worldly teachings and alternative belief systems, and specifically asceticism, mysticism, and legalism. However, chapter 3 starts to give practical ideas as to how to apply the supremacy of Jesus outlined in the first two chapters. This part of chapter 3 talks of doing everything that we do, whether ministry, family, relationships, or work, wholeheartedly in a manner that is pleasing to God. He describes this as if it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we're serving, therefore, rather than mankind. This is something that I see so evident in so many that we serve alongside in Africa, and particularly with my friends from poorer economic contexts. They live out their working days joyfully and graciously, as if they're serving Jesus rather than the earthly masters. That to me has been a wonderful encouragement, as it should be to so much of the rest of the privileged world. You see, our work should be typified by pure spirits and being devoid of begrudging attitudes. Some of you may recall a few short years ago during the first year of COVID. The gangs in Manenberg worked pretty tirelessly and together in unity to help distribute food to many desperate people in soup kitchens, and they did so for no payment or benefit whatsoever. It was clear and evident for all to see that they were doing it unto the Lord, even though only some of them knew Jesus personally. And the spirit with which they worked and served was infectious. Everyone wanted to join in and help serve alongside them. Over the past year in the marketplace in a business that I have the privilege of being the chairman of, I've witnessed firsthand how servant leadership has been transformational in that business. Our chief of staff has led every day with servant-hearted joy. And just as it was with the gangs in Manenberg, that joyful presentation of all that he does to and for God is infectious. Every morning, this young man, we shall call Chief, calls and says words to the effect of, "How can I serve you best today, boss?" And yet he's operationally in charge. You see, that's what servant leaders do. They serve whoever it is, that is their elder or their senior. But in the Chief's case, he serves Jesus, the King of Kings, in his humble, joy-filled, servant-hearted, and incredibly effective business leadership style. Particularly in the corporate sector, servant-hearted leadership is a reasonably rare thing. But I can share of another great example here in Cape Town. Just last night, I had dinner with a friend and brother who's also one of the most senior politicians in the Western Cape. This man is one of the biggest-hearted and servant-hearted men of faith that I know. I genuinely pray that one day he may reach the position of president of South Africa. This servant leader serves the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich, each and every single day. And he does so joyfully and as if he's doing it for his king, because he is. I love great testimonies of the secular world when young men and women of faith live out that sense of joyfully serving the Lord in all that they do. Again, it's infectious and inspiring, and it brings glory, honor, and praise to Jesus. In all of these examples, their work flows from an innate desire to be of service and to bring relief and delight to others, but most importantly, to serve their King. And that's the essence of what Paul talks of in this passage. Although our love for God should be adequate reason enough to work hard, joyfully, and wholeheartedly, we're promised a further blessing over and above this. God in his grace gives us yet another blessing. The passage says, "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." So while serving God should be ample reward for us, God in his infinite mercy, wisdom, and generosity promises us an inheritance as a blessing. That, my friends, is amazing. Today I'm at the end of an arduous 6-week trip of successful business and ministry here in Cape Town. And yet this is a timely reminder to me that my motivation is not even primarily to bless, provide for my family, nor even to simply fund more ministry work, but rather firstly and foremostly, it's my privilege to work as if I were working for Jesus himself.